Hey, what's up? I'm Gautam Sharma. You're listening to another episode of the Access Cyber Podcast. On the show today, my guest, Mr. Ramandeep Singh. Ramandeep is a senior security consultant and lead cybersecurity instructor at Evolve Security. I had a great conversation with him where we talked about things like mentorship, pivoting careers, and things that he thinks every cybersecurity professional and aspiring cybersecurity professional should know and need to understand before they can start a career in this very interesting space. So, here we go. Ramandeep, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here with us today. Maybe we can start by getting a sense of your different titles and what your role involves sort of on a day-to-day basis.
No, thank you. Thank you, Gautam, first of all, for having me on your podcast. I'm mostly involved in the services side, where my job is to perform vulnerability assessment and penetration testing for the clients that we have. And then if required, I usually also jump on our cohorts, like offensive security cohort or our other cybersecurity cohort that we have as a lead instructor. That's kind of like a very basic overall overview of my profile at Evolve Security.
So I'm really curious, first off, how you found your way into the world of security, because everyone has their own story of their journey about how they ended up doing cybersecurity related work. And so if you talk to a room full of people, let's say a conference or something, you talk to 10 people, there's 10 different paths that they took. What was your path like?
That's a pretty great question, actually. So starting a career in cybersecurity without previous knowledge of anything cyber was pretty hard for me, because I come from medical background. I was a biology student back in India. So my dad recommended, check out what exactly do you like. So I kind of then all of a sudden jumped into a different domain for some reason. I was like, okay, I'm not into dissecting frogs in the labs or some other stuff. So maybe from my early childhood, actually, I was like 4 year old when I got my first computer. I always liked to disassemble that. So I kind of liked that over the medical stuff, I would say. I thought of, you know, starting into electronics and telecommunications. So I did my undergrad, a 4 year degree in electronics and telecommunication, because even whatever you're securing, there's a hardware related to that on the back end. So I did my degree in that for 4 years. And then I kind of liked more like hardening security on hardwares as well. And then my dad recommended, he's an engineer, he's a mechanical engineer. He helped me a lot in that. Then I moved on to information security. And then I did my master's here from United States, from Illinois. During that, I was actually doing some bug bounty hunting stuff. And then I also did some work with law enforcement back in India. That's the most interesting part of my profile, I'd say. I worked with Indian law enforcement as a forensic analyst. So digital forensic analyst for almost 4 years. And solved around 200 plus cases with Indian law enforcement. Then I moved into pen testing, found Evolve, and I started my career in cybersecurity. There's like no specific path that I can tell, but there's a lot going on in my profile, my background.
Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. You touched on there's a couple of things I want to touch on that you mentioned your background, but let me start here. What is your philosophy on like teaching, being an educator and having a background in instruction? What's your background in teaching, and what do you think is important when we try and teach folks cybersecurity? And we say we're teaching cybersecurity. What does that mean? What should that involve?
Cybersecurity definitely is one of the most interesting domain out there today. To teach cyber, we definitely need an instructor. Being an instructor was always pretty tough for me. I had no teaching background when I started as an instructor for Evolve. I did actually taught some batches back in my college as a graduate assistant, as a working for my professors. But then what was tough for me is to actually think of like a layman example that we can incorporate into the overall, how we actually give an example, like what is a payload, what's an exploit, so what's a vulnerability, right? To describe that to somebody who is coming from a very, let's say there's a guy in my cohort who actually was a Uber driver or was a truck driver. We had some students like that, and they wanted to switch their careers into cybersecurity, and they are successful nowadays. And I see them working as a system admin or a network admin. Maybe we can say a security consultant as well. So to make those examples from scratch was the most challenging part. Like, you have to actually be really good at the basics. People don't understand that in cybersecurity, we need good hold on the basics. The foundation should be strong. There's no shortcut to become an expert in cybersecurity. Actually, there's no shortcut to be an expert in anything. But for cybersecurity, you definitely have to go through all the basics first. So main challenge for me as an instructor, I think, was to, first of all, grab all that knowledge and then pass it on to my students in a very friendly and understandable manner.
Are there a few things that you would say these are the basic skills that are going to help anyone who's entering a security career?
For sure. Let's say, you know, there are a few things that you will always have to understand. For example, you know, IP addressing. Doesn't matter if you're a pen tester, doesn't matter if you're an auditor. One should understand what is IP addressing, subnetting. Basics of networking, very important. In my early days of cybersecurity, I was blessed to have such great mentors that actually took the entire week to describe what an OSI model is. Like, they took a day to define each layer. But nowadays, what we see is most of the platforms that we see, they just spend like 30 minutes to define what OSI model is. One must know what these 7 layers are. Before they actually start their job in cybersecurity, we should know what is IPv4 and what is IPv6. For example, as a pen tester, my job is to secure websites. My job is to secure networks. My job is to secure wireless networks, mobile applications. I am dealing with different type of codes. I'm dealing with different type of frameworks. But by the end of the day, that all is interacting with a backend server. So I should be, my fundamentals of, you know, this client to server and server to client interaction should be clear. Otherwise, it won't make sense. Our cohort that we teach, we include all that basic concept into it. Because as I said earlier, we get students from different domains.
I'm curious, at Evolve Security, what are you all doing that you would say separates you from all the other training platforms out there? Or what's something unique that you all do?
I always like to answer this question. I go to cybersecurity conferences throughout the country, and we have been asked this question many times. It's custom-made, handcrafted curriculum that we have built from scratch. After a lot of research, market research, what is it that nobody else is teaching, or what is it that nobody else is even thinking of? For example, is there a platform out there that's actually teaching a student how to defend their endpoint or how to actually automate this type of attack? We are teaching both sides of it. We are not just offensive or not just defensive. We keep the ratio equal. We try to teach both sides of the table. We try to bring all that together in the curriculum. We built out a med center, a complete medical hospital environment, which is all cloud-based environment. We built that from scratch. This hospital actually have a patient database. It does have doctors, nurses, and whatnot. It's a replica of a hospital. So we sat down with real network administrators of different hospitals, interviewed them on what exactly these networks look like without actually asking them for the real data. We customized most of it from scratch. We built it. And then that's where our students are practicing hands-on labs. We do have complete SOC network where students have all the dashboards like Carbon Black, Splunk, all paid licenses. It's not just open source tools. It's the complete organizational environment they're getting. That's what makes us different.
The medical environment you described, that's really kind of cool. It gives students a real world. And I think a lot of places can say that, but I think actually spending the time, the resources to build out that environment is a really valuable resource for students, I think. I think I was on the website earlier. I saw that there's also sort of some, you mentioned there's two parts of the company, right? There's the services arm and there's the education arm. Right. Is there a significant interplay between the two? How does that look like for students?
It's the major portion of Evolve Security. Evolve Security started as academics organization, and then we started into services in early 2016 and 17. So that's where we got an idea of how will it work out if we actually start hiring the best students right out of our cohort. If there's a position open, we try to hire them on the spot after an interview, or else we try to, we do have like a staff augmentation, like a separate department. These students are then placed client requests that, hey, we need someone to design our complete SOC environment, or we want somebody to implement SIEM solution, like a security incident event management solution in our network. Do you have somebody? So we have a list according to the feedback that we get from the lead instructors that, okay, this student is good at this, this student is good at that. So we pick that student out and then interview them. So it's basically, you know, a complete process between academics and the labs side of the team. Student right out of the academy get into the industry, either with Evolve or with a client.
That's really useful. Just have that pipeline into industry. Mm-hmm. The students who go through the program, I'm just curious about this as well. Are they being prepped for certifications? Are they being prepped for, what does that look like as part of the curriculum?
So we do research the market for which certifications are good for a beginner. So if you see on our website, we have a cybersecurity bootcamp and we have an OSCP bootcamp. So for a cybersecurity bootcamp, if a student enrolls, they get a voucher for a CompTIA Security Plus certification, and they get an attempt to take that exam during or maybe within the next 6 months or 3 months of their, once they graduate from Evolve. OSCP Bootcamp is for Offensive Security Certified Professional, OSCP certificate. Mm-hmm. So also, you know, if a student do not want to take Security Plus, let's say they already have it before they enrolled, we do give them some other options. They have to sit down with the academics team, the leadership of academics team, and then they discuss it with them. What exactly is that they want? And then how can we help with getting a voucher for that examination? And then when it comes to preparation of certain certifications, lead instructors and teaching assistants are always available for any kind of questions.
I see. Okay. And you've got a few certifications too. I was on your LinkedIn just doing some research earlier. How have those certifications helped you in your journey? Important role to play when people are breaking into the industry or if they're continuing their careers? What do you think?
So I started in cybersecurity in 2014, I guess. I would say, like, you know, that's when I actually started my job. So it's almost a decade. Back in the day, you need a certification. If you want to prove that you are eligible for this job role, you need a certification in your hand when you go for an interview. But nowadays, I don't see that kind of a requirement out there in the industry. Like, you know, hey, if you don't have OSCP or if you don't have CEH or something of that sort, I'm not giving you a job. It's about how dedicated you are to the job and how proficient are you with what the job role is. Maybe, you know, if you're really good at Python and the job role is heavily related to that, then maybe you can just get that job without even having a certification.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Let me interrupt you for 1 second there.
Yeah.
I think the challenge, let me ask you this. How can people demonstrate their dedication or their commitment to the industry, right? Maybe they don't have the experience in their resume yet. What can they use to convince hiring managers that they're the right fit?
Thank you for asking this question, because it's probably this will be most helpful for anybody who's listening to this. So there are different platforms. You may have heard of, bug bounty hunting or Hack the Box, or, you know, different platforms are out there where you can always just go play CTFs, let's say, capture the flag events and get a rank or a reputation, right, on these platforms. That actually gives a boost to your profile. Like when I was interviewed at Evolve Security, I used to do bug bounty hunting a lot. And that's how my profile was made. And I had no prior experience as a pen tester, but having this experience in bug bounty hunting helped me to get an interview with Evolve Security. So, and also it gave me all that experience. So keep practicing, register on one of these platforms, start working on this. And then platforms like Hack the Box, they have job roles and positions open right there. So if you have certain rank on that platform, you may actually end up getting a job.
Right. Right. I think that's valuable. You mentioned degrees. Mm-hmm. What does our industry look like in terms of degrees? What are you seeing on your end? is the degree a requirement to get into the field? What if you don't have a degree? What are your thoughts there?
For a higher role in this industry, definitely there are some master's degrees that can help. For beginners, I don't think you really need a degree, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Again, it's about, there are some credentials, right? I mean, if you have OSCP, let's say, definitely adds value to your resume. Job seekers definitely have to work on their resumes because the interviewers or HRs are looking for certain keywords on their resumes. That's how it's filtered out there, right? So if you have OSCP or Security Plus or something of that sort, you know, on your resume, that's how you can end up taking this job in cybersecurity. But then I can't say if you need electronics or telecommunication or computer science or information security degree. No, I don't think it's a major requirement. Definitely will help if you want to become like a CISO or maybe a manager one day or a director. So that may help.
We're touching on a number of different topics. One of the trends I'm seeing, and I'm sure you're seeing this too, pen testing as a service.
Mm-hmm.
What does that actually mean and what does it look like?
So penetration testing as a service, it provides cloud-based resources for performing continuous and point-in-time penetration tests. Organizations out there are using this service to create effective vulnerability management program that can enable them quickly identify, prioritize, and mitigate the security threats. That's the value right there, because if you have a continuous vulnerability management program, that can help, because there are some positives of penetration testing as a service that I can talk of as well. As I said, you know, it helps to identify and prioritize the vulnerabilities, basically to mitigate, like if how critical is it and do I actually have to remediate it right now. Benefit is there's less administrative overhead, you know, because it's a continuous delivery model. So you don't need that additional scope approval, if you will. So basically what happens is you just sit down with the sales team as a client, give us a scope. And as a consultant, I'll get that scope from my project manager. And that's it. I will keep pen testing it for the time period where, let's say it's a 3-year time period. They don't have to sit down again for any additional scope approvals. And we are just doing it on a monthly basis. There is a continuous monitoring and testing that goes into this model. So it's performed monthly on individual scope. So typically these engagements start with initial check of networks, web applications, and whatnot. Whatever's there in the scope, it starts from there. And these assessments will serve as a baseline that basically determines the scope of the monthly monitoring that's required. So the initial, the very first vulnerability scan that we do is kind of a baseline for the ongoing, the rest of the engagements. Then early release and detection and remediation goes ahead. Then basically start with identification of these findings and reach out to the client, hey, this is serious or this is critical finding. Let's say it's a external facing asset with a SQL injection or something of that sort that's affecting production asset. We reach out to them, they fix that, and then in next month, or if it's like critical, we check it in the same week, same day, because it's an ongoing process. So things gets fixed immediately. So that's why PTAS, penetration testing as a service, is a trend nowadays.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it has its advantages. The fact that it's not just a one and done thing. You're not just an instructor. You're obviously in the field doing the work. What are some tools that you are using on a regular basis? Some software that helps you. Some, maybe it's hardware, maybe it's software, or tools that you're using that you're excited about, or just things in the industry that you're hearing about that are getting you excited as a professional.
It depends on the type of engagement that I'm performing. Basically, there are some essential pen testing tools, I'd say, that I always look out for. Let's say PowerShell Suite, Nmap, or Wireshark, Hashcat, any network mapping tools or network protocol analyzers like Wireshark. One of my personal favorites is Burp Suite. It's a tool from Portswigger. I'm an application pen tester. I love hacking web apps and pen testing them. Burp Suite is one of the tools that is actually still open on my workstation. So that's something that I cannot work without, to be honest. Then Cobalt Strike for multiple different type of engagements. Like we use it for assumed breach, and that's a different style of internal network penetration testing. Assumed breach is now a trend as well. So we can talk about that later, but yes, we use Cobalt Strike for that purpose. And it's a C2 server. It's pretty trendy nowadays. SQL map and whatnot. So these are all essential tools that I use a lot. And if there's a malware or incident response or something of that sort, I use IDA Pro, OLEDBG, and some other debugging tools and reverse engineering tools.
It's always interesting for people to hear about what kind of things professionals in the field are using and what they should look into also. So thanks for sharing that. Before I let you go, is there anything coming up at Evolve? If students want to learn, if potential learners want to learn more about Evolve Security and get involved, are there any dates, any timeline, any particular resources they should be aware of?
We do have a OCP cohort that's coming up, but we have cohorts throughout the year. We have a free, if you go back to the website, there's a free boot camp that we actually also have, like a free course. If somebody, like a free prep course, they can always take that to understand how our network is set up, like what's coming up at Evolve. I can't say one thing. There are like so many things coming up. In sure. Academics, we have offensive security bootcamp that's starting. And the cybersecurity bootcamp, they start back to back. We do meetups as well.
Before I really let you go this time, you seem to have a wealth of knowledge about the industry. Where can people connect with you? Where can they reach out to you if they have questions, things like that?
I am reachable on LinkedIn. You can just search for Ramandeep Singh in Evolve Security, or just type Ramandeep Singh hacker or information security on Google. You'll end up on my LinkedIn. I'm very active on my LinkedIn.
Thank you so much, Ramandeep. This was great. I think we learned a lot about the industry and education and Evolve. So thank you for sharing all those things and really great chatting with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gautam, for giving me a chance to be a part of this amazing podcast. I listen to this podcast, and thanks for doing this today.
Oh, thanks so much, Ramandeep. Take care.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, there's a ton more where this came from over on accesscyber.org. Thanks. Until next time.